First Timothy, please, chapter 5. First Timothy, chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Titus chapter 2, please. Verse number 2. Titus 2 and 2. The aged men be sober. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Down a little further, verse number 5, to the younger woman, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home. Verse 6, young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Matthew chapter 5, please, for a quick reference. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Chapter 18, please. Matthew's Gospel 18. Verse 15. The words of the Lord again. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. May the Lord will bless what our brother has been telling us and the Holy Bible. Now I'm going to put this across in a few minutes with the Lord's help. The subject tonight is interpersonal relationships. How are we getting on in an assembly context? These other things that our brother has been telling you about, we leave to the one side. I want you to think of the assembly tonight. You see, in any given group of people, whatever they cause, where they're together or whatever, there are usually four groups. The older men, the older women, the younger men, and the younger women. They have different personalities. They have different strengths. They have different weaknesses. They have different ideals. They have different priorities. Now, how can we get along together? Now, we're not familiar with conditions in this part of the country, but I want to say, dear saints of God, one of our greatest weaknesses today in assembly life is interpersonal relationships. Now, I won't cover the ground that already has been covered, but I want to appeal to you tonight. I would like to ask you, how do you handle older men? That's what 1 Timothy chapter 5 is all about. See, we're in a very large assembly in Ephesus. In that category, we're among the saints. Paul's telling Timothy, now Timothy, you remind the believers there that you don't rebuke an elder. And you all know it's the word for maturity. He might not be a shepherd. He could be. I would like to ask all of us tonight, now, how do we handle older men? Well, I've been pondering this today. And I want to be on the positive side tonight. And I looked for examples in the Holy Bible as to how people handled older men. Genesis chapter 48 is an example. Jacob is around 147 years of age. And son number 11 is before him, Joseph. If you know that passage, you'll find out how he treated his father. You see, Joseph, in a very kind way, if I have understood the passage correctly, made a recommendation to his father about how he was blessing the grandsons. How do we treat older men? All these traits that our brother's been talking about. Now let's be honest, dear saints of God. How do we handle them? I would suggest that we handle older males in assembly life as you would handle your father. What about our older women? And all that has been said, we appreciate. Do we treat them as you would treat your mother? I thought of the way Naomi was handled and treated by Ruth. Respect, appreciation, thanksgiving, and the ultimate end. There she is in the line to bring David into the world. And later, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear saints of God, let me appeal to you younger folk tonight. How do you handle older women, older sisters? Outside the world there tonight, it's despicable the way some older people are handled. I have been around a while. In assembly life, 58 years. And we have seen some tremendous examples on the positive side of how to handle older brethren and older sisters. And we thank God for them, everyone. But I want to tell you something. There's the negative side. Sadly, we have heard younger people addressing older people in a very unbecoming manner. Lord, help us along that line. I want to ask you younger men something. How do you handle your peers? This is the age group that in assembly life, in certain incidents across the world, there's a spirit of competition. Example in the Bible, I was reading in 1 Samuel today. There was a day when David handled Jonathan like he would handle his own experience. Look at the way Jonathan handled David. He sacrificed everything. He loved David as his own soul. When he was taken from the world, 2 Samuel chapter 1. Here's what David said about his peer. "Thy love to me was wonderful, Jonathan, passing the love of woman." We thank God for our young men. But I want to ask you tonight, do we see each other as peers? Do we esteem the other greater than we do ourselves? Very important. I want to tell you, dear saints of God, tonight, one of our weak points is interpersonal relationships. Now, I don't know anything about this part of the world. I would like to ask you tonight, can you shake hands with everybody in the company? Whatever age group we're in. That's what the Lord desires. And then, of course, here's our younger woman. I want to tell this audience tonight that world out there is after our younger sisters. Here's something. I know quite a number of unbelieving young men, and they say, "If I want a good wife, I would like to go to the gospel hall and try and win one of those nice young women and one day marry them." It's pretty obvious from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that the Lord, the God of heaven, don't approve that. What fellowship has light with darkness, for example? How can two walk together except they be agreed? I understand the context, but I'm making an application. I want to pause a minute. We have seen some awful tragedies, even in recent times, in other parts of the world, where a young, unbelieving man married a believing younger sister, or vice versa. I'll just take a minute and give you an example. Years ago, when I used to meet with my beloved brethren in the assembly there in Vancouver, this beautiful young woman said one day, "I would like to talk to the elders." Nobody knew what it was about. She came and talked to us. We sat down there kindly and listened to her story. She said, "Brethren, I have fallen in love with an unbelieving young man. And I can't go back on my commitment. And the next number of days I'll be married." She was weeping her heart out. I remember that night so well, when we opened the Bible and read to her 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." The dear girl cried her heart out. There wasn't a dry eye in the company that night. See, the day of the wedding, when it was all over and they're on their way to the honeymoon, they happened to drive past the gospel hall. Said the young husband to the young wife, Take a good look. You'll never be through that door again. I tell you, that dear young woman has had a sad life. I've come to appeal to you tonight, whoever you may be. God help you to just stop and understand what the Lord desires. We need to know how to handle our younger sisters. It says here, with all purity. Any examples in the Bible? Right away you think of the field of Boaz. There was young men there. There were young women there. There was a young maiden called Ruth. And she got instruction and she got assurance that she would be handled in the fear of God. Dear saints of God, we're living in a dreadful world. Dear shepherds, tonight, one of your functions, all of us, is to protect our younger folk and older ones for that matter. Now just think that over before we go to the next point. Titus 2 has already been handled. I want to think of it in an assembly setting. See, this is how we are to handle these four groups. Now let me just pick one point out of the four groups, what God expects from them. What does he expect from the older men? Well, one thought is they need to be serious-minded brethren. See the aged woman? See, this is a new work. The elders haven't been appointed yet. That's one of Titus' jobs. And he's talking to these people. And he's saying now, the older sisters, the aged woman, have a role to play. And they need to be able to handle and instruct the younger ones. Here's a wee point our brother didn't point out to you. This is the only verse I know of where it specifically says that the young wives are exhorted to love their husbands. It's always the other way. Ephesians 5, for example. What's expected of our younger sisters? Well, all things being considered equal, that when they do marry and have a family, they have responsibilities at home. This is a very, very delicate area, dear saints of God. In the big scheme of things, sometimes the both spouses have to work to keep things going together. Tremendous price to pay to allow unbelievers to formulate the character of your children in the early years. See the young men. The word I would say to them is, it's already been covered, they need to be discreet. Right, the four groups, interpersonal relationships, have been cited. Now, generally speaking, there are all kinds of different personalities that arise in any given group. There are the extroverts and there are the introverts. There are the strong and there are the weak. Now watch. Sooner or later, there could be a conflict. Now, I want to borrow what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew's Gospel, before there was an assembly formed at all, and he knew the end from the beginning. Here's a person He has offended another believer. So he's the offender. Now what is he to do? Well, he's to leave his gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to the one he offended. And then move as the Lord instructed him. I read you the other side. Because in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, it's the one that has been offended that has to go to the offender. I have heard this recently. See that individual there? He offended me. So it's up to him to come back to me. Now you notice how carefully the Lord Jesus Christ gave the instruction that the offender and the offended, whoever takes the initiative, have to be together. God help us tonight before we leave. Is there anyone here and you have offended somebody? Anyone here and you have been offended? What do we do? Well, the Bible teaches that there's such a thing as forgiveness. How will it take place? Well, they have to get together. Here's another thing. The Hebrew 10 passage says about the God that we serve. Their sins and their iniquities, what I remember no more, period. So brother told me here recently, here's an individual, and he says he has forgiven me, but I'll never forget, said the offended. I'd like to ask you tonight, is that directed by the Holy Spirit of God? Right away we think of Ephesians chapter 4 and the last verse, verse 32. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I can just hear somebody saying, that's all theory. Really? I'll give you an example just before we close. These people have passed on now. You don't need to know where it was or who's involved. But here's what happened. Two individuals, and there was a clash of personalities. And I got a phone call to be present at this location. I remember the night well, went down to see them, and was arrived at. I tell you, it was anything but kind. I sat there for 30 minutes to hear these individuals going back and forward. One said, have you nothing to say? I opened my New Testament and I read you the verse I quoted, Ephesians 4 and 2. Be kind, forgiving one another, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven. I prayed and left. Result? We give. There was a confession and there was forgiveness. God help us tonight. Whatever little time's left between now and the Lord returns, that we'll seek to be stronger than ever in this great theme. Interpersonal relationships. Now, let me just qualify it again. Nobody has ever told me anything about the assembly here in Winnipeg. I know nothing about it. But we have come tonight with a burden on our heart to teach a basic, simple ministry that will strengthen our assembly testimony. We're all going to the same heaven, and we love the same Savior, and we have the same objective in life. The Lord help us to get along. Thank you for listening tonight. Let us pray.